Heard around the world, around the world, around the world. This is the day we all come together. You are listening to the World College Radio Day Global Marathon.
We are grateful for the support of the following sponsors who have made the 2020 24-hour World College Radio Day Global Marathon possible. Hindenburg, Live 365, and Spinatron. This global marathon is powered by Live 365.
Hello, my name is Eva Gustafsson. I'm the station manager of K103 Gothenburg Student Radio. I am now the president of World College Radio Day.
My name is Annabella Boland, and I am the general manager at WMSC-FM on the campus of Montclair State University in New Jersey.
I am president of College Radio Day 2020.
We are standing together as one and doing this day as a special day.
The kind of solidarity that we see in college radio on this day is the kind of global solidarity that the world needs.
We all do this because we love it. Student radio, nothing is like us.
Stay safe, stay healthy, long live college radio. Que viva la radio universitaria.
Status report. It's back again.
Press play.
The day college radios comes together around the world.
Turn your radio up as loud as possible.
Turn them radios up.
I love it.
Welcome, my friends,
to
World College Radio Day.
College Radio.
The old world is on the air.
College Radio is united.
Come on. Connection is coming.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 11, 10, 9.
Here we go. Are you ready?
Ignition sequence. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running.
Radio connected.
And now.
Now.
Connected to.
Hong Kong.
Welcome to World College Radio Day Marathon. We are People's Campus Radio, HKUSTSU. We'll be sharing about COVID's effects on Hong Kong. Let me introduce you to our station and university. People's Campus Radio, HKUSTSU, was established in 1997, which serves the HKUST community by providing high-quality broadcasting services via the internet with the aim of to become one of the major communication channels among the members of HKUST community. And HKUST is the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. I am one of the DJ, Chit, and I am a year 2 student majoring in computer science.
Okay, so I'm Sebastian. You guys can call me Sebastian, and I'm a year 3 student from the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology Business School. And I'm currently majoring in information systems and marketing. So the biggest impact of the coronavirus on me is that I could see my friends less and I could do less sports because I'm an extrovert person in nature. So seeing friends is very important to me, but apparently now it is I'm less likely to do that. And I'm a badminton player. So I just started playing badminton recently. Because of the coronavirus, I've stopped playing badminton for 2 months or even 3 months. And currently I just started playing it back again. So it feels quite good, but I still couldn't play as much as before. A good thing about the coronavirus on me is because I stay at home more. I get to play on my piano more and I started to learn singing and a bit of guitar. So on the music side on me is pretty good. So what about the rest of the members of the DJs?
Hello everyone, my name is Natalie and I'm a year 2 local student at HKUST. I'm in the School of Business and Management. I guess because I'm more of an introvert, so I don't really see the downside of being stuck at home or in quarantine, but I definitely pick up some interesting hobbies such as baking. I made a lot of bread now, so I definitely gained weight, but I found out that baking is such an enjoyable hobby, and I recommend everyone try to pick it up if they have the time and the luxury. So I'll now pass it on to L.Y.
Okay, so hi everyone, I'm L.Y., a year 1 business student of HKUST. I was a lazy person who just wanted to stay at home or the time. So when our society encourages us not to go outside and maintain social distance due to COVID-19, I was quite confident that staying at home all day is just a piece of cake. However, now, thanks to the COVID-19, I have got a really great change that I have become a literally outgoing person who just want to go outside, meeting other people, taking a deep breath of the air outdoor, doing some sports that I try not to do it usually, and maybe also standing under the sky instead of lying under the roof. I can't tell whether it is good or bad having such changes due to the virus, but I really have to say that I miss those times when we didn't get such a lot of limitation, and I really treasure the time getting outdoor and being with others now.
Hello, my name is Thomas. I'm a year one student from the University of Science and Technology. I would say that the outbreak of coronavirus has completely changed the way I live and my habit. For example, in the past, I used to go out to the street and walk around in the near-lit community and eat something in the restaurant. But the outbreak of coronavirus has changed my life, and I stopped going out and eat in different restaurants because I have to stay home to make sure I'm safe and do not get the COVID-19. It made me realize that I'm actually an outgoing person, because in the past, I believe I'm an introvert person because I seldom join different activities in my school. So I would say that the COVID-19 had changed my life and make me believe that going out is actually a very valuable thing, and I become enjoy different kind of activities and going out because of the COVID-19.
Hello, my name is Jabez, and I'm from HKUSC. And for the major impact of the virus to me is like, it didn't really change my lifestyle, since I actually pretty enjoyed like staying at home for a whole day. However, I feel like I've been like missing a lot in my university life because I can't go to a campus and do the activities.
So, we all talked about how COVID affected us as a student of HKUST. So maybe we can talk about how COVID affected our university first. Maybe Natalie, can you give a little summary about this?
I think every university in the world now is the same, using like online lectures or Zoom to conduct classes. And I think our university actually transferred to that medium of teaching very well. And I think a bit of the reason why is because like during maybe the beginning of the last school year, Hong Kong was, and I believe, going under social unrest. So our university it is not suitable for us to travel back or be on campus to take lessons. So all our classes are postponed till further notice until they decided to try online classes. First, different professors have different approach. Some have some uses video recordings, and some have PowerPoints with voiceovers. And eventually, our university bought Zoom licenses for all our professors. So, in the beginning of the November, I think last year, some of our professors start using Zoom, and eventually our university started to provide training to our professors and students to help us ease with, you know, the transition of using Zoom to conduct classes. And I think it was not until February that COVID-19 hits Hong Kong. So it actually gives our university around 3 months to familiarize with online learning. So I think our transition is rather smooth when compared to other university where they struggle, since they did not know that COVID is gonna hit them and they need to have online alternatives for different students. So I guess these kind of ups and downs actually help our school and our students to get familiarized with online learning. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to agree that our school did transition very smoothly during the COVID-19. And I think the reason is that we actually transferred to online mode much earlier, as Natalie just said. And that transition isn't particularly smooth, but it is because we already transitioned, so we are able to go through online mode in COVID better. Because at first, the transition is really unsmooth, and some lectures have Zoom, some maybe we have to watch lecture videos. And also, because it was such a hurry, a lot of courses didn't know how to do. Maybe some canceled exams, some went off online exam. So it was really a mess. But now that we have their experience in this, I believe HUST offered help to other universities, teaching them how to switch to online mode. So I think this is a very interesting fact. Yeah, so that was a bit of background on why our university was using online mode earlier. Let's now talk about what our university actually did. For example, what are some regulations related to lessons and gathering?
Now UST has made everything online due to the health concern. We use Zoom to attend maybe both academic and sports classes, which is UST current rule. Students have to turn on their camera and follow what the professor asked them to do. Although the fact is that not everyone are willing to show themselves in front of the camera.
Yeah, there are really like different moments where people in breakout room and no one talk, or like no one turn on their camera. So I think for the discussion part of the different courses, it really took a toll. And as not everyone is very familiarized with having Zoom or having their camera turned on or talking to a camera, I think that really affects students.
Yeah, as a year one student, I found that using Zoom to have lecture is very interesting experience. As you mentioned before, we are very nervous and don't know each other, so we don't talk to each other in Zoom while at the breakout room sessions. But I think the situation is going better as we are getting more comfortable and adapt to the Zoom. But as a freshman, what mattered the most about the school route is that in the past, they used to go back to school to do registrations, and now we don't have to do it. All the registration process is done online, which is very unique experience for us.
Yeah, let me share some of my own experience on online learning. And because I'm a year three student, I've been studying face-to-face for 1.5 years. And this online learning has been going on for around a year. So I have a hands-on experience on both of the learning mode. I think face-to-face teaching mode does give me more motivation to study, especially because there are my peers around me. And then you can see the HKUST library full of students at the first week of school, and everyone is just stressing out and trying to get higher grades. When the midterm score is 100 marks and then the mean is 90 marks, you look around and think, oh, I'm the bad one here and I need to work harder. And this does motivate me to work harder. And in online classes, in breakout rooms, it's actually really embarrassing and really, as Hong Kong people like to say, cam. In English, it's kind of like embarrassing and something like that. So In a course, I would say the course out loud is ISOM 3210. It's a information system major required course. It will have some breakout room sessions for discussion. And once I'm assigned to a breakout room with six people and only two people, including myself, are talking, and the other four is just like switching off their camera and muted themselves, and there are no response. And then there's a six people a 6-people discussion has become a 2-people discussion, and it's really embarrassing and not fun. So I prefer face-to-face teaching more, but I think AKUSC has done their best to change from face-to-face to online exams and classes as smooth as possible.
Yeah, about what you said in the breakout room. So breakout room is a feature where it is supposed to simulate some group discussion when you're in an actual lecture hall, and maybe some students will sit face to face together and discuss about some topic. But I think the problem is when you're face to face, you will want to say something. Yes, it would be very awkward to not say something, but looking at each other. But in Zoom, maybe because some people refuse to open their cameras, and when you're staring at a blank screen, it just feels more weird to speak than to not speak. So I think this is the reason why many students will refuse to participate in discussions in some kind of online learning. So yeah, this is not very good for online learning.
Yeah, I feel the same too, because I have the same experience before. Using Zoom, talking in Zoom is just like talking in the air, which make me feel very uncomfortable. So I'm looking forward to having a face-to-face teachings in the future as the outbreak of the COVID-19 is getting better in Hong Kong.
Although academic is very important, we can also talk about the leisure activities in our university. The university has prohibited student gathering, and since we are a student society under the student union, we regularly organize activities for students, such as broadcasting events. And really, not being able to hold them in a face-to-face manner is a really big challenge, since I think we can all agree that interaction is better when we are directly sitting in front of each other. So I think we can also talk about the challenges posed by COVID to organizing some activities for students. The most significant event is the orientation day, in my opinion. I think many universities have this too. It is an activity to introduce freshmen, those who newly joined, to the university, providing them a chance to meet others and adapt to the environment. I think this pandemic really posed a serious challenge in holding such events. Since freshmen cannot meet each other in person, the communication will become very difficult. Also, without physically being on campus, they can barely adapt to the environment there.
Yeah, as a freshman, I feel like it is really difficult too. But I think the situation in those online society gathering actually vary a lot, because the society gathering could be fun or also embarrassing. As a freshman in HKUST, what would happen in society gatherings like orientation days and orientation camps were totally unknown to me, so I didn't get much expectation on it, especially in this year, because the old days and old camps have gone virtual. But I have got really varying virtual gathering experience. I joined a virtual old camp that the person in charge haven't prepared enough games for the gathering, haven't prepared enough virtual games, so he asked we, the freshmen, back what we want to play or do. But there are also some interesting and surprising gatherings that allows us to have virtual campus tours and like online detective games, which makes the online gathering even better than traditional gathering. So maybe UST virtual situation doesn't make our UST life worse.
That's great to hear. I suppose different people adapt to this situation of online mode differently. Maybe some can readjust to it with ease, but some are still struggling. After talking about some student events, let's move on to another important aspect of university, which is exams. It is a very important part of learning, and our exams became online mode, which we are required to open Zoom, and we'll do some online exam using a website called Canvas, where we just fill in some multiple choice questions and we submit within a period of time. I think this is a very not the best way to conduct examinations, as we are, if we are using our own computer to do some kind of examination, it will be easy for cheating to happen. For example, you can ask other people to log into your account to help you answer. You can use some kind of screen sharing software to let others help you answer. So what I want to say is that maybe the university haven't done much to prevent cheating or to make our examinations or grading better. What do you guys think?
Yeah, cheating is definitely a big part of the problem of online courses and teaching. I think our university, like different professors, have different approach towards this. Some of the professor told us to screen record our computer or place the camera strategically so they can see our screen and see that we are not browsing the internet when we are doing our exam. But of course, there are, since technology is very, innovative, there are a billion ways to cheat on an online exam. An online exam is just simply very different from an exam that you're sitting in the real, in a real world setting or on your campus. It is, people can't really see what you are doing when you're having your online exam, and some professors don't even monitor you when you take your online exam. So there are definitely leeways for everyone to cheat. But I guess since like everyone is very like they care a lot about their grades, it is very hard to prevent all cheating from happening. Yeah.
Okay, so I think among all of us, I'm the only one who really took a final exam in HKUSC campus. I think from year one and year two have never took a final exam in UST. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think for online exam, it really stresses me out even more because people start cheating and because I'm to be honest, I'm not a person who is really good at cheating, and I've applied for pass-fail grading for a previous semester just because of how bad I did compared to others. I think for face-to-face exams, you can really feel the pressure, and the cheating methods are really simple. Like some of the girls put the exam cheat sheets in their underwear, and some boys just put it in their pocket, so when they go to the toilet, they will look at the cheat sheet. But in online exams, there are really many ways to cheat, especially for some courses. The school canceled the final exams on the day, and then they start giving us some individual assignments, which if you know some of the people who are really good at a topic, you just get a high score without doing anything. So I think it is quite unfair in this perspective. But I think we should still deal with it and consider the hardship that the school has gone through throughout the consideration of the online exams.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I want to add on about the topic about individual assignments. I think since online learning happens, there is a boom of business opportunity of like helping others do their assignment. Like people pay for other students to do their work. And I just think that is such a not ethical thing to do. But I guess in a way, it is a good way to earn your income, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the business opportunities are always there, and people are always trying to find the loopholes to earn some quick cash. But I think that's just very unethical, and it's not good. So aside from grading us by examinations, there are also some labs and projects about to try to the professors who used to grade us in this online learning mode. And I would like to share some fun experience. I actually participate in a course that asked us to build a electronic car, remote control electronic car, and by scratch using the hardware called Arduino. And since we are all stuck in our own homes, each of us will have to build a car. And we just purchased something like straws, motors, Arduinos, and all kind of subs. And at the end, each one of our students in their course built a car, a working remote control car by our own. So I think this is an interesting way to adapt to this online mode. And I also know that some courses have some online laboratories. Using some kind of website or maybe software, they can simulate some electronic circuits and things like that, so that students can learn while being at home too. So aside from that, maybe we can talk about some kind of sports skills class too. Because in university, other than learning from some academic things, we can also learn some physical things, like how to do some kind of sports. And there are some things called a sports skills class in HKUST. And I participated in one that learns about Wing Chun, which is a martial art, Chinese martial arts. And we learned by looking at the so-called professor or maybe tutor on Zoom, and he will do some kind of posture, and we'll try to copy his posture while looking at his recording. And yeah, I think this is pretty fun, but also not so effective in learning some kind of sports. What do you guys think?
I totally agree with you on the last part, because I also participated in that kind of course, like also Wing Chun. And I noticed that many people just don't open their webcam. And I'm pretty sure that they are not actually in front of their computer. So yeah, another problem about the sports skill class online is that people just don't actually do the sports, and they just go to do something else, yeah, including me.
As a freshman, I didn't attend any sports skill class, but I just registered. But I really heard that there are some students that will just open their virtual background and then go away to eat stuff, play stuff. And is it true actually?
This is an actual problem. I think the intention of sports skills class is to teach students sports and improve their physical abilities. But however, people are lazy and they just want to slack off. The university had tried to ask us to open camera to check if we are actually doing sports or not, but some students just find another way to avoid doing it. So I think students slacking off is unavoidable. Do anyone have any other things to share?
I also know that this is an interesting story, that one of my classmates, she actually told her brother to stand in for her sports skill class instead of her. So the camera is actually filming her brother doing the sport instead of her, but nobody knows. So I guess that's another problem. Yeah,
it will really be difficult to spot it. Because suppose the professors just look into the camera and say, oh, someone is doing some sports. So it must be the person who the Zoom account is. But I never thought of this creative way to avoid doing the sports, which is very interesting.
I'm wondering, is it possible to make a virtual background that is a moving virtual background that is looping the same thing over and over again? And it's just looping as maybe the Wing Chun, the martial arts thing, and then you just do the same posture again and again, and it's a moving virtual background, and you go and eat or sleep or something like that. Is it possible?
I think the professor will realize, because you are not doing the same gesture he's doing. So, but I think it's a very interesting idea that maybe you should try later.
Because I've seen some people who is doing online lesson, they keep nodding their head and then they're doing the same thing again and again, and it's obviously a virtual background. And then and then it's, they just switch on their camera and then open that virtual background and they do other things. But then it seems like that person is attending the lesson very attentively. Yeah.
To sum up, the university tried a couple methods to make sure students do not gather, from making lessons and exams online so that students can learn while staying safe, to forbidding student societies from holding face-to-face events. Students, on the other hand, also tried to adapt to this new situation, like having events online, slacking off in lessons, and cheating in exams. Both sides tried to make the most out of this situation, which, in my opinion, is a good thing, to not just waste precious time. So, we have talked a lot about our university. Let's talk about the general Hong Kong society.
Oh, yeah. Because of the outbreak of the COVID-19, the government introduced a social gathering ban in February, and then the things went well. And then in March, at the second wave of COVID-19 came to Hong Kong, and the government would introduce a stricter social gathering ban. For example, the restaurant can have as small 4 people per table, and 2 tables have to have a distance of at least 1.5 meters. And also, the restaurant can only have as small 15% of their customer day, which they originally can have maximum. So given that the situation and the ban, it is very difficult for the restaurant owner to maintain a eat-in service. So many restaurants offer a takeout as a result. So,
yeah, maybe we can talk about the first wave of the pandemic. Like, the government simply banned a gathering publicly. Maybe like we cannot, which means that we citizens cannot go out as a group. And maybe they believe that this policy can help prevent a spread of the virus within groups of people. But this seems to be not so effective. Is it, Natalie?
Yeah, it's not really that effective, because I guess the social distancing culture, I don't know if it's a culture or not, is pretty different from Hong Kong to other places like US or UK. I don't really see people like really distancing themselves from others. Like, I know people in the US or UK, when they line up, they actually follow the signs on the floor and actually keep a distance of about 1.5 meters apart. But actually, when I go out, and I actually see people lining up just like usually, they are really close to each other, which is very concerning to me. They are like 1 cm behind each other, and it's just too close. And I don't think that it actually helps with, like, having the band gathering doesn't really help with the social distancing, since it's not really strictly like enforced. I think many friends of my own actually still go out. Like, even when they have a band gathering of only 2 people, they still go out like as a 4 people. So like 2 and 2 together is 4, right? So they just still go out. because there's not really any enforcement for strictly banning them together. And the distancing is not really there as well. So I don't really think that it is very effective. And I think the other thing that really affects, that this bank gathering really affects, is the domestic helpers of Hong Kong. Since like Sunday is the traditional day off for Hong Kong's many foreign domestic workers, who they usually meet up with each other or gather on sidewalks or in public spaces, so they don't need to spend any money. But with this band gathering, they can't really do it since they are not allowed to do so. But when they are told that they can't do it, they don't. Our government didn't really provide any alternative. And one of the domestic worker actually said that they feel like they're being singled out, and they think that the Hong Kong government isn't really helping them and they're not really giving them any space to rest or have fun or gather or want to protect them. They're just like treating them as criminals because they didn't understand the band gathering. So I think that's a thing that our government should work on as well.
Yeah, I like to agree with you, yes. I guess there is not enough education about this kind of policy, and it just kind of just came here, and you know, not much explanation or not much education on why it does this have to be here, on like how does this help. So I think, yeah, it is not really that good.
So let's talk about not being able to eat in restaurants. In 29th of July, the law requires that only up to 2 persons can go out together. And in the same month, it asked restaurants to not open, only allowing for takeout food. Although the limit is increased to 4 persons in 11th of September, but still, people can hardly eat outside together. Therefore, this has a tremendous negative effect on the environment, since a lot of takeout utensils and containers were used. At first, because a lot of restaurants are not adapted to this, maybe even a small dish will be given inside a big plastic container because restaurants cannot find suitable distributors for plastic or takeout containers. Although later, different food is fitted inside suitable containers, but a lot of waste is still being generated since many order takeout food. So this caused a lot of pollution by some plastic or maybe wooden things. Also, the air pollution caused by delivery motorcyclists is really bad too, because a lot of people order some take-home or delivery takeout food, so there are a lot of motorcycles on the street. So I think it's really bad for the environment.
Yeah, I understand that too. Takeout survey require many plastic container or plastic bag, and as a person who consider myself as an environmentalist, I feel very guilty when every time I order a takeout service and receive tons of plastic containers and have to throw them away, damaging the environment. But I don't have any choice left because I'm more afraid that my health. Because when I decide to eat in a restaurant, I have to take out my mask and I'm afraid that I will have the coronavirus easily, and other customer may become the potential patient. So without any choice, I have to go out and take out service. And every time I go to a restaurant, I see a line lining up in front of the restaurant. There are people who are waiting for the takeout service.
Yeah. And taking away food being a convenient way, needing not to take off their mask and then put it on again, it have surprisingly led to the booming trend in using takeaway apps or platforms due to the policy giving straight limitation to the restaurant. And takeaway apps actually allow the public to order their food and just wait for the food delivery at home. This allows people to avoid contact with people, to minimize the probability of cross-infection, especially when they can't cook on their own and when dining out is the only choice. Taking away is actually good, as some greatest risk can be totally eliminated. For example, having the diner opposite to you cold chain in front of you, set by Chit and Thomas. Or at firstly, also preventing your virus from infecting the others. To play it safe, some people will even do the takeaway and delivery process themselves in order to like really put their eyes on their food and prevent any unknown risk occurred during the food delivery. However, there are still unavoidable risks when you order the food outside, which comes from the cooking process, for example, because we can't really ensure the cook has got their mask on during the entire cooking process, as we all know that the kitchen of a restaurant could be really hot. And wearing a mask makes the environment even more torturing for the cook, who stay in the kitchen almost whole day. So it is understandable for them to take off their mask, but it is absolutely not the situation that we want to face. Especially when you are the one ordering the food, you will definitely not want to see the cook making your food without wearing a mask, right? Or even coaching to your food without wearing a mask. Therefore, there are still rooms for debate whether taking away food is a good enough solution for nowadays situation with COVID-19, especially having said that takeaway food will actually cause some environmental problem as well.
Yeah, and not to be like a business student, but there are actually another business opportunities like happening, like HelloFresh is a, I think it's a foreign brand, like they don't have it in Hong Kong, but they provide groceries delivered to your door and you cook the meal yourself. And it is very convenient because they have measured out everything for you and you just need to cook it by yourself. So I think everyone can do it. It's not like the matter of do you have cooking skill or not. So I guess Hong Kong market is actually venturing into that kind of business as well nowadays. Yeah.
And I think that also about the restaurants, there is still something good about like the COVID-19, because nowadays like maybe many chefs in the restaurant don't really care about the hygiene. And however, after the outbreak, I think that many restaurants should be like more they should care more about the hygiene and how clean their kitchen are, and that's actually some like better for us as customers.
Yeah, I understand you. My parents used to work at a famous local food chain in the past, and I can tell that in the past the restaurant is not very hygiene, and the chef are usually very dirty. They didn't wash their hand regularly, and the food, even though they drop it accidentally on the floor, they still pick it up and serve to other clients. But I think the situation is getting better and will have improved now because the outbreak have changed everyone's lifestyle to become more concerned about hygiene and other problems of disease.
Yeah, listening to what Thomas just said, it's really gross how they just pick up the food that's found to the floor. And yeah, I think that it is important for the chefs, maybe the delivery workers, the different workers of the restaurants all be very hygienic, because there's a saying that says security is the weakest link, which means like if one of the process is unhygienic, it will ruin the entire process. So I think it is a good thing that we are starting to be more aware about the hygiene of even taking out food or maybe eating in restaurants. Yeah, so as we can see, like in Hong Kong, the society, there are different policies that are being introduced, and our citizens and maybe some businesses all reacted to the different challenges posed by this pandemic. Let's talk about the face mask wearing practice in Hong Kong. In the 2003 SARS, us citizens of Hong Kong have the habit to wear masks to prevent the spread of virus. We did the same in this pandemic. However, in October 2019, a ban of covering the face is introduced from the government because of the protests in Hong Kong. But now, everyone in Hong Kong, maybe even in the planet, have to wear a mask. Ironic, isn't it? This wearing mask seems to be pretty effective. At least the spread of the virus in Hong Kong is controlled, and the infection cases are mostly not on the street. I noticed that some Western places don't like wearing masks, but from the statistics in Hong Kong, it is evident that it is a pretty effective measure. And a follow-up would be that the government now requires everyone to wear a mask, which is a very late response for this problem, in my opinion.
So, yeah, I think that the rule actually came very late, and many researchers found that like masks actually help prevent the spread of COVID-19. And I think the thing is, they just enforced this law during the third wave sets a lot about like the government's political agenda and how it doesn't really like care about the health of the citizens, as seen by many policies they enforced. So like many policies they enforced aren't really that effective, such as the ban on gathering, and like the restaurants, they don't allow, like they have our teammates have said before about the restaurants policies, and it actually harms the restaurants' businesses, and I guess they're not really that effective on policies. And this kind of contradictions, like because we have a law on forbidding masks, as Chit has said, and now that they have another law to force people to wear masks, so I guess this contradiction is really like, I have no idea what the government is doing. So like everyone is very lost. And I guess people are slowly losing confidence to us, our government. So I think they should rethink about what they are doing.
Now let's talk about how people in Hong Kong work from home. So at first, because we want to avoid so much people going to work together or maybe being in the same office, which might encourage the spread of the virus. So the government actually let civil servants get to work from home in July, which is used to reduce the use in public transport or things like that. And they encourages other firms or maybe other organizations to follow this practice. That seems like working from home is actually not that effective because it actually causes a lot of problems. Maybe one problem is about the Wi-Fi or maybe network connection, because in some working environment, maybe there must be some kind of video call to speak with different colleagues. And maybe if the parents have kids, then the parents have to video call their colleagues and their kids have to attend online lessons using the same internet. And this might be a bad thing because there are not enough bandwidth for this. Are there any other problems?
Yeah, definitely. And I think not everyone have the luxury of having multiple computers or laptops for every member in the family to use it and attend their online classes or work at home. And I think this is a problem like around the world. Not everyone have a good Wi-Fi connection, but the society requires them to use it. And I think it's also about the spaces in houses. Like Hong Kong has a very like everyone have a big house, and having everybody crammed in one small house is very negative, like emotionally and mentally, and like facing the same person like every day 24/7 is not really helping different people to cope with this situation.
Yeah, it really has many negative effects. And I think another negative effect would be to family relationships, because this pandemic really increased the chance of conflicts. Since you are sharing the same room with your partner or maybe kids or maybe parents and the same Wi-Fi, also because of the stress caused by having to stay at home all day, this is really a catalyst for conflicts to happen. For example, when maybe the Wi-Fi is down and family members will blame each other. Or maybe when a little problem occurs, but because of the fact that everyone is in a bad mood, some conflict will happen. So I think this is really a bad thing.
However, on the bright side, I think that since both the parents and the kid have to stay at home all day, I think that it gives them more opportunity to like interact with others. Like in the past, like many children would complain about their parents not caring about them since they only care about their work and come back late. However, now since like they have to stay at home, they have more times to hang out and or do some activities like playing or teaching the children to do their homework. So I think that their relationship would also be better at some point.
Yeah, there definitely are some upsides of working from home. But also, another downside would be about how to companies migrate to this kind of work from home mode. Because for some industries, there is this impossible. For example, like catering industries, the workers still have to go to work. And maybe in some normal office, it is still difficult. For example, like how should they communicate with other colleagues? Should they use softwares, or maybe should they develop their own ways? Or maybe how they encrypt some transmission, for example, some confidential company data. How should they assess these kind of things on their own computer? So I think there is a big challenge on how companies will choose to adapt to the work from home mode.
Other than the parents have to work from home, the kids have to learn from home too. Because in order to reduce the social connections and the spread of disease, the government first announced the suspensions of class in the beginning of New Lunar New Year, which is about February. And at the first, at the beginning, when I first hear the suspension of class, I feel like, yeah. And then months after later, I feel like it can be very torturing because we cannot meet our friends and classmates for years. And it is very difficult for even a high school student and university student. So it could be more tough for a little kid, for example, who is studying in primary school or kindergarten at 6 or 7 years old. Since they have to work from home, learn from home, they have to use different kind of device such as tablet and computer to watch the video made by their teacher. And it could be very tough for them because, as you know, they are just kids and they cannot sitting here watching video for hours a day. And it is very difficult for them because they are active and
Yeah, because for little kids, they usually when they're in kindergarten, which is their first school, they can interact with teachers and other classmates, maybe playing some toys from the school. But now, if maybe their only way to interact with teachers and other students is via some kind of software. And moreover, they can hardly use some kind of high-tech things. So the parents must help them to interact with the software to do the online lesson, which makes it extremely difficult for little kids to learn.
Yeah, it is very difficult for us, and it is even more difficult for the little kids, and because they are too young and they have never used such kind of device or application before, and their parents are mostly middle-aged and they also didn't use it before. And I want and facing the screen for extended period of time can cause very serious damage to them too.
Yeah, so as we can see, like working from home and maybe kids learning from home is a way to decrease the amount of social gathering, but also has a number of problems that we maybe have to find a way to solve in order to make our working from home and learning from home more effective. So now we would like to share a little bit of tips on how we as students in Hong Kong cope with the pandemic, and we'd like to share experience with you guys.
Yeah, so under coronavirus, we have to do a lot to cope with the new situation and face the difficulties. But what we should try to do is not only keeping away from the virus, but also staying healthy and maintaining our quality of life. So first tip is that don't face the screen for too long. The first step to enrich your life is absolutely staying away from your screen when it is not necessary, so that you could have your time to stay with the real world and take good care of your tired eyes after hours looking at the screen. When your work, your lesson end, let's try to leave the screen together and spend some of your time to stay with your family, to explore the beauty of the world and explore more about yourself rather than the you that only face the screen.
Yes, definitely. It is great to have a bit of detox from the screen after using it for so long. And I have some tips about doing sports. I know gym may be closed and running on the street may not be that good since you have to wear a mask. So how can you do some sports or move around at your home? I think, like, even though you don't have that much space at home, you can just simply like maybe stand around and don't sit down for such a long time. You stand up for about 1 minute every hour of the day. Or if you want to follow some quick workout, there are different apps such as Nike's app. And also you can follow YouTube tutorials such as Chloe Ting or Amy Wong different YouTubers that help that you can follow for different workouts videos. And of course, if they are too intense for you, you can simply just do some stretching. I think this kind of not that intense exercise can definitely help boost your energy during this time of the year.
Yeah, doing sports is most definitely a good way to stay healthy. And another way to stay healthy is to eat healthy. We know that it is pretty tempting for you to maybe order some kind of fast food and to eat. But however, we suggest that maybe eating healthy, for example, some fruits, some vegetables, or maybe having a balanced diet is a very good practice because it enables your body to absorb the right amount of nutrition and you can stay healthy in the end of the quarantine, you might be greatly out of shape. So eating healthy is most definitely a good way to stay healthy and stay in shape during the quarantine. And when it is over, we can just all go out again.
This sums up for our program for the Rhode College Radio Day Marathon. We hope you all would stay safe, and we shall be able to see each other mask-free very soon.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.